my soul unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let my enemies triumph over me. Unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord? Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord? Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let my enemy triumph over me. Do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord? Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed without my enemies triumph.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus. Praise you.
I think Tim doesn't want me to hear myself tonight. Let me hear myself so I can scare myself. How can I scare the devil the way if I can't even scare a few people? Amen?
Amen.
You know, you don't have to yell to scare devils. Did you know that? You don't have to yell. They're scary critters. They're scared of Jesus. And they're scared of Jesus' people. I remember in Graniteville, Vermont, we were holding church in an apartment building. Remember that? And there was this guy that lived upstairs. He didn't like Jesus. Didn't like him a bit. And every time we'd have church, he'd turn up this rock and roll acid rock music and light his pipe bowl or whatever that was he did, and he'd be stomping on the floor. And this went on for a while, and finally I turned to Ricky. I said, you want to see something funny? I said, that man doesn't even know who he is. He doesn't know who he is. He thinks he's coming against us, but it's actually the devil. I said, now watch. He's complaining about all this noise. Watch this. And I took the microphone and I put it behind me. Just like that. And the man yelled out, you're not telling me to leave. We all said, praise God. And I said, yes, we are. And you know what? Jim Townsend been trying to get rid of that guy for months. Had him in court and everything else. Couldn't get rid of him. That week he moved out. Amen. Don't ever underestimate the power of the name Jesus. When it's spoken by one who knows him. You know that a lot of people know of him? A lot of people know of Jesus. And a lot of people know about Jesus. I had a man come up to me one day and say, preacher, I believe in Jesus. I said, so what? That in a nickel 40 years ago, buy you a cup of coffee. It ain't going to raise your child from the dead. Huh? I said, it's one thing to know about Jesus. It's a whole other thing to know him. It's one thing to believe in him. It's another thing to believe him. Amen. How many people have seen the new dollar? Huh? Seen the new dollar? And they got that funky looking guy with George Washington's face running around advertising this new dollar. And they say, changing the look of money. You ever heard that? You know, I remember a king in the Old Testament did the same thing with God's tool. Remember Rehoboam? You read about him in Chronicles? He got to flapping his tater trap one day to the wrong man, bragging about how great he was, how wonderful he was. Brought the man in and wined him and dined him and showed him everything. The guy said, "That's pretty neat. I think I'll come and steal it." Remember the story? And he came in and he stole all the goods of the temple and all the goods of the palace and took the shields of gold that David had made from Rehoboam. Anybody remember that? Huh? And what did he do? He made shields of brass. Now tell me, Ricky Baldwin, if I offered you one of them new little so-called dollars, and the same size coin in solid gold, what would you choose?
The latter, the second one.
The gold?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's more precious than brass.
That's right. It's worth more. And you know that Christians have accepted the fake and not even known it?
Amen.
They don't know it. When God says, take the shields of gold, throw away those shields of brass. You know, we are funny people. We don't like to admit when we're wrong. That's why I'm never wrong. So love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
I hope you don't believe that I'm never wrong. I've actually been wrong a couple of times. Paid for it. God is good.
Amen.
He is good and he is love. But, you know, folks, God is power.
Amen.
And he is righteousness. And he is judgment. See, people don't like to think about the judgment part. Oh, I don't want to think about that. Why? Why not? Because we're guilty. That's why. We're guilty. I said something in here last night. I'm not afraid to say things. Am I, Ricky?
No.
I might say something to offend you. In fact, if I don't offend somebody this week, I'm going to be very disappointed. I'll be disappointed. I'm going to have to go and ask God to forgive me for not doing my job. See, Paul says we're to provoke one another to love and good works. Do you know what happens when you provoke somebody? To get mad. Do you know that sometimes we have to get mad to get right?
Amen.
Some people, have you ever known people that will never tell you the truth until you get them so mad they can't see straight and then the truth just comes gushing out? You ever known people like that? You know, Christians are like that, too, with God. They'll lie to God. Oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I want to serve you. All right, go out here and serve that man. I ain't going to serve him. I want to serve you, not him. Huh? Am I right? You know, God says in order to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you got to be the least. But we don't like that. I don't want to be least. The Lord keeps making me least. And then one day I realized that least was better.
Amen.
You know, because the least you are, the less responsibility you have. Huh? And all of a sudden I realized if I let God be God, I don't have to worry anymore.
Amen.
I don't have to worry. But a lot of people, They will lie to God. They'll tell God that they want to do this and they want to do that and they want to do the other thing. But when it comes down to serving Him and obeying Him, they don't want to do it. Because you see, I was telling a man the other day, and I'm going to say this, it was so good I got to repeat it. Every now and then God gives me something good to say. And it just amazes me. It amazes me. And I told him, I said, let me tell you something. You've got a choice. You can live in the kingdom of God, in which God is sovereign.
Amen.
Amen? What's that make you? A slave. A servant. Amen?
Amen.
Or you can live in the kingdom of the world, in which Satan is sovereign. What's that make you?
Slave.
A slave. Or you can live in the kingdom of self, where you're sovereign. And what's that make you? Stupid.
Amen.
Because there is no such thing as kingdom of self. That is a deception.
Amen.
That is a foolish deception that we play on ourselves. Now, how do you know when somebody's living in the kingdom of self? How can you know it? Listen to what they say. Listen to what they say. Shut up, Paul. I'll preach this. He's my friend. I like to pick on him. See, you got to bring some people to pick on so you don't have to pick on the new ones.
Amen.
Then when you get to know them a little bit, then you can pick on them. Amen.
Amen.
Anyway, what did you tell me? I forgot what I was saying now, see? Yeah, you can tell what they say. Jesus says it's what comes out of the mouth is what the intents and desires of the heart. Heart. Yeah, it's up here. It's up here. What comes out of your mouth is what's really coming from your heart.
Amen.
Amen? And how many times you ever tried to tell somebody about Jesus? Or try to tell somebody about something the Lord had for them? And they turn around and say, well, until God shows it to me, I'm not going to believe it. Huh? Anybody ever have that? Anybody ever hear that? And I'm not, don't raise your hand if you've ever said it. We don't want to know. I'm sure not raising my hand. Amen. If you love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
You know, when a person says, let me show you something. When a person says, I'll believe it when God tells me, what are they saying? Think about it a minute. Who is the mediator between man and God?
Jesus.
Jesus. What are they trying to do?
Bypass.
Bypass Jesus. The same thing Lucifer did. The same thing. The same thing. Now, I've said this and made people mad. They've gotten mad at me. Well, I've said that. I've never tried to buy a fire. We all do. Now, I started off tonight saying I was going to say something I'm not supposed to say, and I didn't do it. I went around the bush. I happen to do that sometimes. I want to tell you something that I was taught never to say, but I'm going to say it because I enjoy telling the truth. If you've come here tonight to hear a good preacher leave, you ain't going to hear one here. Terry. You're not going to hear a good preacher. If you come here tonight to hear a good pastor, you might as well go home. You might as well. If you come here tonight to hear a good revivalist or evangelist, just go to sleep. Because there's nothing good about me.
Amen.
I'm going to shock you. I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. Now, they tell me in preacher school, don't ever tell the people you're a sinner. Because then they won't respect you and they won't listen to you. I said, I hope to God they don't respect me. I want them to respect the one who saved me.
Amen.
I'm here to explain the love and the power and the glory and the grace and all of the awesomeness of the living God that died on the cross for me and for you, not to tell you how good I am.
Amen.
Amen. And when I leave here, if you don't remember my name, that's good. It's good. It doesn't bother me a bit. Because I want you to remember Jesus and what Jesus can do for you. I want to show you things about Jesus you've never heard before. I want to show you things you've never seen before. I want you to see the power of God to raise the dead.
Amen.
And it's yours. If you belong to Jesus Christ, the power to raise the dead belongs to you.
Amen.
It's not something for a few great people. Why do I know that? Because there are no great people. I prophesied Jimmy Swaggart's fall. Remember that?
Yes.
Prophesied Jim Baker's fall. Went and talked to Jim Baker one time. Told him what was going to happen to him. And I prophesied Jimmy Swaggart's. Jimmy Swaggart didn't fall because he was messing around with some prostitute. He fell because he believed the lie. He believed the lie that he was great. He wrote a thing in the magazine, send your money to Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart saves souls. No, Jimmy, you don't save souls. Jesus saves souls.
Amen.
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 I can't save any souls. Not a one. You hang me on a tree and I'll die, but it ain't going to do you any good. You might feel better about it and get rid of me, but it sure ain't going to save you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise
I know
God.
Ricky's tried to want to take me out a couple times, that cross down there in Falls, and they try it on for size. We got this big old cross down there on the land, and new people come to see that cross. Yeah. That's where we put people that don't want to follow the Lord. Well, you get their attention. Of course, we have to tell them the truth later. You know, something about it. God just won't let you lie.
Amen.
If you're of Him. And even when you try, you got to come back and tell the truth. Amen. But, you know, Jimmy Swaggart was and is a mighty man of God.
Amen.
He just forgot that it was of God. I hope and pray I know that. Hello? Hello, radio. I hope I never do that. I hope I never forget that Jesus is the grace and the power and the glory and all righteousness, and that without Him I am nothing. You know, and I one time thought I was a good preacher. Oh, I was a big shot holding this preacher, man. If you took an aspirin, I'd condemn you to hell. Somebody take an aspirin, I'd say, oh, you're not a believer in Jesus, you're going to hell. I was terrible. Thought I was good. Man, you remember those days, Rick? I'd go out and pat you know, nobody else would say you're doing a good job, so I'd say, you're doing a good job, preacher. I thought I was really doing good until God showed me how a bit stupid I was. You know that scripture in James? I'm going to show you something. How many read the scripture in James? Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Anybody read that? You go to your local pastor and ask him what it means. I'll tell you what he'll say. He'll say, oh, that means when you're tempted of the devil and you overcome, count it all joy. No, it isn't.
No.
It's not what it means at all. It means, brethren, count it all joy when you fall. into divers temptations. He doesn't say count it all joy when you're tempted. Count it all joy when you fall. It's like when your mother says, don't go out there and jump in the mud puddle. So you're running around the mud puddle trying not to get in it, you know. And all of a sudden you trip and fall in it. Now I know growing up I wouldn't be counting that all joy because I knew what was going to come next. I knew what was coming next. And part of my anatomy was not going to be happy. And unfortunately, that part was tied to another part. And the whole came together. And that meant I was going to be hurting. But the Bible says, count it all joy when that happens. Why? Why would that make sense? Because it says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Huh? Now, if you're tempted and you're overcome that temptation, where do you need faith? The devil tempts me. I overcome it. Look how good I am. I overcame the devil. He couldn't touch me. Na, 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 na. Huh? Look how good I am. I'm holy. I'm righteous. Oh, God, aren't you lucky to have me? But if I fall in that temptation, it does two things. One, it reminds me I'm not God.
Amen.
But most important, I have to exercise faith to believe what Jesus did for me on that cross. And I have to remember that it's by Jesus that I'm saved. It's by His work that I'm saved. It's His blood that cleansed me. It's His power that will raise me. And it's not me or my works.
Amen.
And that goes against human nature. We want to be so good. We want to think of ourselves as good. We don't want to think of ourselves as bad. I knew a preacher years and years ago who I had a place called the House of the Fishermen down in Orlando, Florida. And this was back in 74. And this woman came to the House of the Fishermen, and the brother that I was working with there introduced me to her. And when I looked at her, I saw the name Jezebel across her forehead. And I tried to warn him of her. And he was angry. He got angry and defended her and defended himself. And I said, brother, I said, you're going to fall with this woman. You're going to fall. She will get you in a bed of adultery and you won't even realize it. And 2 weeks later, he fell in that bed of adultery. And I was so proud of myself for foretelling that. Oh, I was happy with me. I went back and told him, I told you so. See, the Lord showed me and I told you and you wouldn't listen. You deserve what you get. Wouldn't you have liked to have known me then? And I went off and I prayed, Father, thank you for showing me this knowledge and giving me this wisdom and this understanding and just make sure he learns his lesson real good. And God, I'm so glad I'm not like him. Is that familiar, anybody?
Yeah.
My name was Richard Pharisee. And in the midst of this prayer, it was as if the Lord grabbed me by the back of the neck and lifted me up and carried me over the city of Orlando. And looking way down, you know how nervous that can be? Looking, because to me it was real, you know. Looking way down, I saw two little spots on a road. And the Lord asked me, one of those is a man who is rich, who is dressed in sumptuous clothing, impeccably clean, and the other is a drunken bum that has just puked all over himself. Tell me which is which. And I said, Lord, I can't tell the difference between them. He said, neither can I tell your righteousness from your brothers that fell. And I got a dose of reality that moment. That I had done exactly what Adam had done in the garden when he sinned. I put a fig leaf on and pretended I was dressed. Amen? Instead of letting God clothe me. We Christians have got to learn that we're not good.
Amen.
You turn us loose 5 minutes on our own, and we'll get in trouble. And if it wasn't for the grace of God and His power in our lives, we'd be just like those other people out there that we look at and say, look at that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't ever know what I'm going to say when I come in here. I just come in here and say as I feel the Lord led me. And I know this message is for someone. I don't know who it's for. It's for all of us. But I do know this. We're going to get into some other stuff. Because this week, we're going to find out what it means to cross the River Jordan.
Amen.
God has let me cross the River Jordan, and I know what it means. I understand it now. And it means this. To walk in the full power and assurance of the living God without fear.
Amen. Praise God.
And some that come to these meetings this week are going to get that.
Amen.
It's available to every single person, free of charge. All you got to do is want it.
Amen.
All you got to do is want to sing me something, boy. Chapter starting with the 21st verse, there's a very interesting thing in there. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. First of all, God was sending Moses into Egypt to bring the people out, but he wasn't going to make it easy.
Amen.
It was not going to be an easy thing. It wasn't going to be an easy task. It was going to be difficult. And he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Every time Pharaoh believed and every time Pharaoh was ready to turn him loose, God hardened his heart. Now, I can get into a long study, and I'm not going to do that tonight, on why God hardened Pharaoh's heart and who Pharaoh was and the purpose of Pharaoh and all this other stuff. I'm not going to get into that tonight. You're just going to study this other thing here. But in the 22nd verse it says, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Israel is my son. Even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go that he may serve me, and if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, some of this may be difficult, some of it may not be easy to take, and some of it you may have to go pray about and read about, but I hope you will. See, Satan has infiltrated the churches with some false doctrine. And because Satan has infiltrated the churches with false doctrine, the churches have lost the power of God. They have traded off the shields of gold and settled for the shields of brass. Now, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In Mark 16. He said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, I don't care what a theologian says or what some preacher says or what some Christian says or what any of these guys says. If Jesus said you have to believe and be baptized to be saved, then bless God, that's what he means. And it means what? To believe what? Terry? To believe what? To believe the gospel. He didn't tell them go preach Moses. Did he?
No.
He didn't say, go ye into all the world and preach Moses.
No.
He said, preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is very simple. Let me show you how simple the gospel is. Jesus Christ died on a cross to save me.
Amen.
That's the gospel. He died on a cross to save me, died on a cross to save you. Why? Because you're too sorry to be able to do it yourself.
Amen.
We were sold under sin. There ain't nothing you can do about that. You can't change it. You can't make yourself better. You can't work around it. You are a sinner. And if you don't think you're a sinner, then you're just a sinner who happens to be deceived into thinking you're not a sinner. Reminds me of the old Pharisees when Jesus was eating with the publicans. They said, who, thy master eateth with the publicans and sinners? Idiots, he never ate with anyone else. He was the only one without sin. Amen.
Amen.
When he ate with the Pharisees, he was still eating with publicans and sinners. That's the way it is. But they said, oh, he's eating with sinners. You know, Jesus said an interesting thing, and I don't know many people that ever catch it. After he asked, why do you reason in your hearts thus? What did he say? He said, I didn't come to call the righteous unto repentance, but the unrighteous. And they all sat back all smug, yeah, he recognizes we're righteous. Jesus had more sense than that. He was just shining them on. Why waste your time trying to convince a self-righteous religious hypocrite that they're a sinner? He knew there was no time to waste with them. You have to know you're a sinner before you can be of God. Because before you can trust God, you've got to have him to trust. You've got to have something to trust him for. If you're righteous, what do you need with Jesus? What do you need him for? That's why Paul in Hebrews said that if those Jews came into the salvation and went back to the law, there was no sacrifice for them. The sacrifice of Jesus wouldn't work. The sacrifice of the Jews wouldn't work. There would be no sacrifice. You come to Jesus, you come to Jesus, and you better stay there.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean you won't fall down and do stupid things. It doesn't even mean you won't sin. But you learn to trust Jesus. Now, Satan has gotten into the church with some of these lies and stuff. And one of them is that the church is the bride of Christ. How many have heard that? How many have ever heard the church is the bride of Christ? Some churches preach it hard. Some churches preach it easy. But just about all of them preach it. And if they don't preach it, they sing about it. Just the bride waiting for heaven. Now I want to show you something. Can you imagine me walking out in a wedding dress to fight Satan? Wouldn't that be a joke? But see, before Satan can destroy the world, he's got to destroy the church. So he gets the church singing about how it's the bride, and pretty soon he can let the church doesn't mind if they vote in homosexual marriages. Now somebody say, well, wait a minute, the Bible says the church is the bride. No, it doesn't. Now I put an offer out in 1974 and it's never been beaten. And the offer is very simple. Show me two scriptures in the New Testament, the King James Bible, where it says, quote, the church is the bride of Christ. I will give you $1,000. You're not going to find it.
Amen.
You're not going to find it. See, before you can have a doctrine, it has to be two or more witnesses. Before there can be a doctrine, there has to be two scriptures saying a thing. And there are not two scriptures saying the church is the bride. There's not even one scripture. It's not there. Jesus said, Israel is my son.
Amen.
The church is the body of Christ. Now, two things. Let me show you the two things I want to look at for a moment. Identity versus relationship. Two different words. Two different meanings. In identity, the church is the body of Christ.
Amen.
Do you see? That's how you wear the armor. I had somebody come to me, I'm wearing the armor of God. I put the armor of God on today. I said, wow, really? How'd you do that? Well, I just get up in the morning and I put the helmet on. I said, how's it fit? I said, well, wait a minute. If you put the armor on, how can I be wearing it? Did you know that God only has one suit of armor?
Amen.
You can't wear it and me wear it. We won't fit. I don't want to be in the same suit of armor with Ricky Baldwin. That'd be scary.
Would not be comfortable.
I don't think we'd fit anyway, do you? Not with your belly and my belly.
No, not even with grease.
Amen. But you see, it's very simple. The armor of God belongs to Jesus. And when you are part of Jesus, you automatically have the armor.
Amen.
You put on Jesus.
Amen.
And being in the body of Christ, you have the armor, and let me tell you, the armor's not a wedding gown.
Amen.
A bride doesn't pick up a sword and go and fight.
No.
A soldier picks up a sword and goes and fights.
Amen.
So if you've been taught you're a bride, you're not going to fight. You're going to whine instead and complain. Lord, if you take care of me and protect me and remember. And the Lord's over shaking his head. Oh, kick him. God wants you to stand up and be the men and women of Christ that he's called you to be. And you can't be the man of Christ or the woman of Christ without being in Christ.
Amen.
And in Christ, you're going to have to get the idea that you in Christ are a man.
Amen.
Not a bride. There is a bride of Christ.
Amen.
And it's not the church. The bride of Christ is New Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven.
Amen.
And you go over there to Revelation 21 and read about that. Or 22. What is it? Whatever. You can find it. Go over to Revelations and look in chapters 21 or 22, one of those two chapters, and read about the bride of Christ. And you will find that the church is standing back with Christ waiting for the bride.
Amen.
As the friend of the bridegroom. Do you see? It's like there are people. I live in a little town called Somerville. Guess what? I am not Somerville. I live in Somerville, but I'm not Somerville. Whole bunch of people live in Somerville, but I'm not Somerville. See? There's a difference. There's the town of Somerville, and some of us live in it.
Amen.
All right? We, the body of Christ, will live in New Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And if you get the identity right, that Jesus was saying to Israel here, God was saying to Moses about Israel, tell Pharaoh, he is my son. He didn't say, she is my bride.
Amen.
Even my firstborn. Now see, Israel coming out of Egypt was a type and shadow of us. Type and shadow. God did that to show us what we are. It was also a type and shadow of Adam. Adam fell. Amen? And he was a type and shadow of Christ, which was the second Adam, who did all things perfectly to please God and did not fall.
Amen?
Amen? Now, the first one, the firstborn that came out of Egypt, fell. They didn't get the promise. They didn't go into the promised land. God got mad at them. And he swore in his wrath that not one of them would enter in. And he took the children of Israel and wandered them in the desert until every last one of them died. And then, those that were born in the desert, that learned to believe God, went forth across the river Jordan, and they had a kick-butt party. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? Oh, well. They had a great time. Great time. You see, because they went across in the power of God.
Amen.
Now, when Moses sent the spies in, how many did he send in?
12.
Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, went out there and said, wow, look at this place. This is great, man. Look at them grapes. They're so doggone big, it'd take a horse to carry them. Look at them manners. Man, they're great. It's a great place. Let's go. Hee-haw. We got it. But the other 10 all think is, oh, my goodness, we look like grasshoppers. And they went back to Moses, and Joshua and Caleb gave their report, and it was so great. It was so exciting. But the other 10 were moaning and groaning and talking about how they couldn't do it and how they'd be defeated and how it just wasn't possible. Kind of sounds like a deacon's board in a church, doesn't it? And all this other kind of stuff to where God just got mad. Said, you're not going in. You're not going in. And he destroyed them. And the only two that made it in was Joshua and Caleb.
Amen.
Now, what's that got to do with you? What good is the Word of God if we can't use it? Amen? What good is the Word of God if we can read the Bible and look at it and say, well, way back there it meant this, that, and the other thing, but you know, today it's just a good story. That's a living Word.
Amen.
It's a living Word, Ricky.
Amen.
And it's just as real today as it was 2,000 years or 4,000 years ago.
Amen.
I heard some seminary student on the radio the other day. I felt so sorry for him. Oh, the Bible is written by man. What seminary are you going to? You know, I don't know about you, but the title, when they put the author of the title, you know, on the title, then it, the book is usually by the author who wrote it, right?
Amen.
It's the Word of God, not the Word of man.
Amen.
Everybody say Word of God.
Word of God.
See, that's not too hard, is it? God is the author of the Bible. Not man. God simply used 40 men to write it down.
Amen.
If I write you a letter, dictate it to my secretary, and she goes and mails it, and the mailman brings it to you, and you don't like what the letter says, are you going to jump on the mailman? No. And most people won't even jump on a secretary. They'll jump on me. See? So these guys that wrote the Bible, they're just the secretaries. And when you get that in your head and you begin to realize, wait a minute, this is God's Word, and God moved on these people to write what He wanted written, and you know what? He even moved on the translators.
Amen.
I used to have a minister